Good morning. Merry Christmas to everybody. This morning we're looking at the birth of Christ out of Luke chapter 2. And this time of year reminds me of my growing up years. I grew up in Iran, and one of the memories that I cherish is in 1967, the Shah of Iran was coronated as the Shahanshah. And so in October of that year, he was coronated. But before he was coronated as the King of Kings, and Shah in Iran means king in Farsi, and before he was coronated, he had said that he didn't feel like he deserved to be called the King of Kings. And so he refused that title for many, many years. But at that point, he felt like, yes, it's time for me to do that. So he was coronated as the Shahanshah, and his wife was coronated as the, you know, the Queen of Iran. But when they were getting ready for this coronation, they strung colored lights in all the towns. And so everywhere you went, they had lights strung everywhere. And it reminded me of Christmas time because of all the colored lights and the celebration. It was a great celebration they had. And so when I walk the neighborhoods here and I see all the white lights and red and green, blue and different lights here, it reminds me of back in Iran of seeing those colored lights strung up. And of course, we have Christmas lights because we're getting ready to celebrate the real King of Kings, not just the King of Kings in Iran, but the real King of Kings. And so in the same way that Jesus was, you know, he was celebrated, and they made an announcement about him that was pretty spectacular. Just think about review for just a minute, because the angels came, Gabriel came to Mary and told her that she was going to have a baby. And so that was pretty spectacular that she told him that. And she says, well, how is this going to be? And he told her, and he says, the Holy Spirit will come over you and overcome you. And so the baby born of you will be from the Holy Spirit. And it's pretty spectacular. And we learned from that story that she was a humble servant and said, may it be done to me according to your word. That we should be humble servants, and we need to be willing to be used by God however he wishes. But the Gabriel had also gone to Zacharias and told him that your wife is going to have a son, and he's going to be the forerunner to the Messiah. And he didn't believe. He said, how do I know that this is going to happen? And because he didn't believe, he was struck mute. And so he couldn't talk until his baby, you know, son was born. And so we learned from that we need to trust and believe God. When he tells us something, we need to believe him. But now the baby has come there in Bethlehem. And there are some shepherds out there. And to announce the birth, you have an angel comes and appears before these shepherds, and they're frightened. And he says, don't be afraid. He says, I've come to proclaim good news about the Savior being born. And then there was a heavenly host of people giving praise and glory to God. And so the shepherds, after hearing that, they said, oh, let's hurry. Let's go see this baby. And so they went and they found the baby in a manger. And then after they saw that, they returned and they were telling everybody about what they had seen. And so that's really what our story is about today. We're going to be looking at the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. We'll be looking at the announcement made by the angels to the shepherds and the shepherds' response. So, Father God, I pray that you would open up our hearts this morning, help us to really glean from this passage, understand it, and so give us applications. And so we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We're going to read the first 20 verses. It says, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as been told to them. So let's take a look, first of all, at the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And it starts out saying that in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. I want to read two other versions there. The King James Version says, "It came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Okay, and so the English Standard Version, I think, is a really good translation here. And it says that all the world should be registered. And I think that's probably the most literal translation of the of all of those. They wanted people to register or enroll for a tax. So it was a tax census. Scholars say that Caesar Augustus was interested in four things. And he was interested in taxes, he was interested in a large army, he was interested in money, and he was interested in a luxurious life. And so taxes are right here at the top, and he wanted everybody to pay taxes to him. Now, Caesar Augustus was not his real name. He took the title Caesar, which is really a title of the ruler. And the name Augustus had religious significance, and he took that name because he wanted to deify himself. This census had four things that they wanted recorded. They wanted the name of the person, and they wanted to know their patronage. They want to know their family, you know, who they came from, what line they came from. They wanted to know their age. They wanted to know their work, whatever work they did. And so those were the four things that they wanted in this census. But it was really about getting them to pay taxes. And of course, the Jews weren't very happy about this. They didn't like being taxed. And so it didn't go over very well with the Jews. Now, it says that this census was taken, and everyone had to go register, each to his own city. Well, Mary and Joseph were both from the lineage that David came from, and they were the lineage of Judah, and so they had to go register in Bethlehem. That's where they had to go. And so everybody that was in that line had to go to Bethlehem to register. So you can imagine this little town that's got 300 people to 1,000 people at most. We don't know the exact number, but it was a small little town. But everybody had to go there and register. And so they didn't have accommodations for all of those people there. It says, "Joseph went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and family of David." Now, to go from Nazareth in Galilee down to Bethlehem was about 70 miles as the crow flies. That means in a straight line. And so a lot of Jews would go the Jordan Valley route. And so they would go east and then down the Jordan River, that valley there, and then back over. But that added another 20 miles. And if you can imagine that Mary is 9 months pregnant, And I don't think they went the extra 20-something miles. I think they took the most direct route they could. And instead of taking 3 or 4 days, it may have taken them a little bit longer. But we don't know exactly how many days, but it probably took them a little while to go there. Okay. And so I want to stop right there. And this going to Bethlehem was very significant. We know that in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that Micah had prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. It says, "But as for you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth to me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." So from the days of eternity, that means from the very beginning, there was no time. God had a plan. And in this plan, he knew that men would sin. He knew that they would need a Savior. And this plan, he was going to bring this Messiah to them. And this Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. So God had planned this, and the prophet Micah had recorded it, that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. So then you got to say, well, how did he get, you know, them to be, you know, to go there? Well, he used this Caesar Augustus to have a census and to get everybody to register. And so he, you know, in Proverbs 21, and I like reading Proverbs, today's the 21st day of the month, and Proverbs 21:1 says that the heart of kings is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He directs it wherever he wishes. And so, you know, it was no problem for God to direct him to, hey, we're going to take a census and have everyone register in their own town. And so that brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, where she was going to have her baby. So he resolved that. Now, when we think about Christmas being on December 25th, I've been kind of, I've chuckled at some of the scholars, because the different scholars have placed a different time of year for the birth of Christ. In fact, you can find scholars that will give every single month of the year for the birth of Jesus. Okay? And so the only thing that most of them agree on is it probably didn't happen December 25th. The only thing that we know from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, it says, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. And so we know that that he was born of a woman, born under the law, so that he can redeem those who are under the law. And so we know that Jesus came in the fullness of time. We don't know what time that was, you know, what time of year or anything else, but we know that. Some of the scholars say that because the shepherds were out in the fields at night with their sheep, it wouldn't have been winter time. And they think that it was probably more in the spring or summertime when they're out in the fields. But I don't necessarily buy that. I think that the shepherds, they had field pens where they put some thorny bushes, and they would make a pen and they would sleep with their sheep, and it didn't matter if it was in the winter time or summer. But so I'm not totally convinced about their reasoning on that. But anyway, that's not the important thing. The important thing was that Jesus came in the fullness of time, and he came to redeem us, is what he said here in Galatians, so that he might redeem us. And he was born under the law. Now, this plan, I mentioned to you that Micah said from the days of eternity this had been planned. And when Peter was preaching at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 23, he said this, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death." So Peter is in agreement with Micah that this was a predetermined plan and the foreknowledge of God, that God from the days of eternity, he had made this plan because he knew that we would need a Savior. He knew that I sin, that you sin, we all have sinned, and we're separated from God. We needed to be reconciled to God. And so he sent his son Jesus to redeem us and so to reconcile us to God. Let's go on, verse 6. Where he says, while Mary and Joseph, while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. Now, I don't think they were there a long time. I think that they just got to town is what I think. And so while they were there, she gave birth. And it says she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I think the Holiday Inn messed up their hotel reservation. No, really, they didn't have any Holiday Inn. They didn't have an inn at all. A town of 300 people, they didn't have inns. It's interesting, the word that is used there that's translated as an inn is the Greek word katalima. Now, if it really means a guest room. In fact, if you go back to where Jesus is getting ready to celebrate the Passover meal, he sends his disciples into town and he says, go tell the man, he says that the master has need for a guest room. It's that same word, katalima. And so that was more typical of what they would do. So the people in that culture, they would have a room set aside, and if guests came, they would put them up in their house. They practiced hospitality. And in fact, the Greek word for hospitality means it's philoxenos, which means a lover of strangers, and it's translated as hospitality. And so they would typically do that. And they would also allow people that are traveling to put their animals up in their barn. In this case, it was probably a cave, is what they say. And they had the mangers and other things set up there. So when they came there, the guest room had already been taken because of this census, and everybody else was coming down to register for this. And so he didn't have a room. And I'm sure that the owner of the house saw the condition that Mary was in and says, you need a place to sleep tonight. You know, why don't you just, it's better than nothing, but you can stay with, you know, there's some straw there you can lay on, but you can be in the barn with the animals. And so that was better than just not having any place. And so that's how I picture things happening there. And so so it wasn't really an inn there in town. And so she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths. Now, it's interesting, that word cloths. There's another word that's used for burial cloths, and it's not this word. But I've heard scholars say that this particular word is not used very much. And Luke, being a physician, was very familiar with the Greek language. I mean, he was a Gentile, and as a surgeon, he was used to this medical term for cloths. And so they say that this was a sign that when Jesus came, they wrapped him in these particular cloths, which would be something that someone might be buried in. And so he came here to die for our sins. And anyway, I don't know that for sure, but that's what some scholars will say about that. And so they wrapped him in cloths, and they laid him in a manger. And so that's the birth of Jesus. Now let's take a look at the announcement made by the angel to the shepherds. Verse 8 says, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Now, we don't know how big this angel was. We don't know anything else about it. But we do know, it says, that the glory of the Lord shone around them. And this is not a normal appearance. I don't know about you, but I don't know how many angels have come and made an appearance to you, but it's probably something that, you know, that would be out of the ordinary. And then to see the glory of the Lord there. And so they were terribly frightened. I like what the angel says. He says, first thing he says is, do not be afraid. And so that's good. He wants to give them peace about what it is. And then he says, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Now, the word for good news is euangelos, and so eu is the word there for good or well, and the angelos is the word, it comes from angelos, which means a message, and that's what that we get our word angel from, is a messenger. And so this was a good message that they were bring. Now, normally when that Greek word is used in the Bible, we translate it as the gospel. So really what the angel says is, I'm bringing you the gospel of great joy. This is good news about great joy, which will be for all the people. And so, you know, the gospel is good news. I mentioned earlier that I've sinned, you've sinned, we've all sinned. We all needed a Savior. We needed to be redeemed from our sins. We needed our fellowship with God to be restored. Otherwise, we were going to die in our sins. And so the good news is that Jesus, the Savior, has been born, and that He came and He died for our sins so that we could have a relationship with God and we could spend an eternity with God instead of the other place, which is not going to be so joyful. And so it's really good news. We should not be hesitant to share the good news with other people. It's not something that we should dread or be hesitant about. This is really something good to share with people. It's good news. So the angel says, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people, because all the people need Him. For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's what Jesus is. He's a Savior. And in fact, that's what His name Jesus means. God saves, Jehovah saves. Who is Christ? That means the anointed one, the Lord. Verse 12, He says, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Do you know that there's over 100 signs given in the Bible? And this is just one of those signs that was given. For example, the rainbow. That was a sign that God was never going to destroy the earth with another flood again. But that's just one of them. I'm thinking about in Isaiah 7, we have a prophecy that's very often used. And what happened in Isaiah chapter 7 was the Jews there were surrounded. And so the king there is the king of Israel there of Judah is really terrified. His name was Ahaz. And so Isaiah comes to him and he says, don't be afraid. And so anyway, what God tells Ahaz, He says, make a sign, make a request. I'll give you a sign. What kind of sign do you want me to give you? He says, and Ahaz says, hey, I'm not going to ask you for a sign. And so I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. And then he said, well, listen now, O house of David, is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men? And will you try the patience of my God as well? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. So the virgin birth was a sign to you. It's a sign to me. It's 2,000 years later. It's still a sign to all of us that this was the Son of God, the Savior, and that He was born. And of course, we have testimonies about that. Now, after these shepherds heard this, it says, there appeared another multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He's well pleased. And so not only did they have the angel, but then they had a whole heavenly host. We don't know how many were there, but they were all singing, you know, and saying, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men. So now let's take a look at the response of the shepherds. And so we see in verse 15, it says, when the angels had gone from them back into heaven, the shepherds said, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So the first response is, let's go see, let's go check this out. Now, I've been told that the field that they were supposedly in is really right across from where this stable was. Not everybody is in agreement with that, but that's what when you travel to Israel and you take the tours, they will tell you that this is the field where the shepherds were, and this is the cave where Jesus was born. But it says, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And so they came in a hurry. They were excited. They went in a hurry to find it, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby. You know, like I said, the town was only 300 to 500, 300 to 1,000, maybe. And so it's a small town, and so it wasn't too difficult for them to find, and they found the baby just as the angel had said. So now the second response of the shepherds is given here in verse 17. When they had seen this, they saw the baby lying in a manger, just as been told to them, they made known the statement which had been told to them about the child. Now, what that was is the angel said, I bring you good news for all the people, for today in the city of David has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So they're telling Mary and Joseph. We don't know if other people, other travelers were also staying there since there was no more rooms available. We don't know how many, but we do know that Mary and Joseph were hearing that statement. Now, many manger scenes that you'll see, you know, in people's yards and on mantelpieces and other things, they'll show that the wise men were also with the shepherds looking down at this baby. But that's not the truth, because when we look at the wise men, it says they found Jesus in a house. And here they're in a stable. So the wise men came after, and so apparently after they gave Mary gave birth, Joseph was able to find another room there where they stayed for the next 40 days because they were going to present him, and we'll take a look at that next week. But they presented him in Jerusalem, and so they stayed there. But anyway, they made known the statement that had been told to them about the child. And it says, all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, she treasured all these things. She didn't just wonder about it, she treasured them. You know, we need to treasure the Word of God. We need to treasure the things that we hear from the Word of God. And that's what Mary did. She treasured all those things, and then she pondered. To ponder means to meditate and to mull over and to think about it. And God tells us to treasure His Word. He tells us to meditate on His Word, to think about His Word. And so those are good things that we can learn from Mary there. And the shepherds, after telling, you know, Mary and Joseph what they had heard, they went back and noticed the third thing that the shepherds did. They went back praising and glorifying God for all that they had heard and seen, just as been told to them. So these were changed shepherds. They had heard a message, they went and saw it, and they relayed the message, and they went back, and they were full of joy, and they were praising God. And so let's take a look now at some applications that we can have from this. The shepherds responded to seek out, you know, the Messiah. And so it was told to them. And so there may be somebody here today listening that you've heard about the Messiah coming, but you've never sought after the Messiah. You've never really gone and searched for Him. And God says this to you, that those who seek Me with all their heart will find Me. And so if you're seeking for God, you know, He will reveal Himself to you. But they went and found Him. And He is good news. He's good news for all men, is what the angel said. And He's good news for you. He's good news for everybody, because we've all sinned. And if you find yourself that you've never received the Christ, you've never confessed Him to be your Savior, never confessed Him to be your Lord, and Lord means simply Master, you've never yielded your life to Him, then I would say that the right response for you this morning would be to give your heart to the Lord. Say, Lord, I believe that You did come as a baby. I believe that You came and You died for our sins. You were raised from the dead, and I want to receive You into my life. And so you just simply need to tell Him that and ask Him to do that. And we know that in John chapter 5, He tells us that He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So if you've prayed to receive Christ, He comes into your life, and you can know that you have eternal life with Him. Okay, and so you can be like the shepherds, and you can go glorifying and praising God, and you can also go and share the good news like the shepherds did with other people. They went around telling everybody what they had seen and heard, and that's what God wants all of us to do. He wants us to be the bearer of good news. He wants to share the gospel with other people. And so those were a couple couple of applications that all of us can take from this passage. And so, Father God, I pray that people hearing this message, Father, that they would receive you, they would believe in their hearts, and they would put their trust in you. I pray, Father, that people would be like the shepherds and they would share with other people the things that they've heard. They would share the good news. Help all of us to share the good news, because it's good news of great joy. And so it's for all men. And so, Father, I also pray that we would learn to treasure your word, and we would learn to meditate and ponder, just like Mary did. And your word is so full of it. In fact, I'm reminded, Father, of what Paul said about a treasure. And so he considered your word as a treasure. He said in 2 Corinthians, he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And so, Father, I pray that we would really learn to treasure you and treasure your word. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.